You know, I just want to share something with you because Mike was talking about humbling ourselves to God. I think about all the time some teachings that Mike did before on patience, because really, patience is an area about humbling yourself also. To be patient, you can't, you know, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you're not humble to the Word, you're not humbling to God. And we humble ourselves, the Word, and patience is one of the things we humble ourselves to the Word of God and not move by what we see. Randall Greer says this quite often. He's been saying this quite often over the last about 2 years. He'll make this statement at least one time during his meetings. When I go to his meetings, he'll at least one time make a statement. And he says this, and it's a good one. And you need to understand, you need to get it, not forget this. Because it'll help some of you of why things have never changed for you in areas you'd like to see change. He says this, and it's a real piece of wisdom. He said, if the suffering of change is not greater than the suffering to remain the same, everything will remain the same. If the suffering of change is not greater than the suffering to remain the same, nothing will change. See, most people in facing things is one of the things that we do. I know, like when I came to Christ, the Bible talks about counting the cost. I didn't really know about that, and nobody had ever said anything. But I went through a thing, and you have to find out if you're going to make a change in life. You have to find out if you're willing to put up with that change that you're going to make. And one of the things I had to decide, I knew this: I wasn't going to have the same friends anymore. I knew people weren't going to like things, and so I had to decide whether I wanted to go through, because there are sufferings of the flesh that you go through on things to make changes. This is one of the things, is like with healing or anything like that. Finances, giving money. This is tough on a lot of people, because most people will not, the suffering of change, to take the time to get into the Word to become successful, people will not pay the price for it, so nothing ever changes. That's why a lot of people never get healed. They will not push through enough, because as long as they can go to the doctor and feel pretty good, because the suffering of change, sometime to stand. And let me just throw a little bit of an example out here on that. And I used this guy before, but the guy's a Rhema graduate. And I knew years ago when I first got born again. And he was talking about healing, and I was talking about, and we were discussing things on healing. And he said this concerning, he said, well, I don't believe God for headaches. It's easier to just take, you know, some medication. Well, he's right. It's easy to do that. But he's never going to really be successful in the areas of healing, because what's going to happen, he is going to run into what's not easy, and he hasn't suffered the change willing to deal with the things over here, because he kept taking what was easy. And so you don't want to do that. Yeah, it's easy. I went through the suffering sometimes of pain from a headache to learn how to stand against headaches. Till I now, I mean, it's been over 30 years since I had a headache. So, boy, did that pay off. But see, you're going to weigh, you weigh. God don't weigh it, you weigh it. Of what you're willing, how far you want to go in something. You weigh that, God don't weigh it. You do. And it's very difficult for people to understand. I just think, when he first said that thing, that's always stuck with me, you know. Because change comes along sometimes, is hard to deal with. And a lot of people don't in changes in life. I see people with dealing with other people, you know. They won't deal with things because they know that if they do, it's going to cause problems. And they don't want to have anybody not liking them. And they suffer through the thing. They just keep suffering, and they call it love. They'll make up excuses so they don't have to go through deal with that thing. Because if I say anything, it'll cause a problem. And I don't want any problems. But then they'll turn around and say, boy, that's so-and-so. I'll tell you what, they keep doing this stuff and they go around complaining. Don't complain, because they ain't the problem anymore. They're not the problem anymore. You are. You're the problem. And you have to learn these things. You need to learn them. So there's a really wisdom in that. And there's things you got to suffer through. I want to talk about today. This is something the Lord, you know, brought on me. On Friday, Maria had given me a call and had not a call, but text me about her an individual that she wanted to know, talk to. She just wanted to know about what to do concerning the person, praying for the person, and things what they're dealing with, because dealing with a problem with the person. And so she asked, and I gave her some things. I gave her some things, but when I did was talking to her, or texting her back and that stuff, the Lord just kept prompting me, you know, probably next week we'll go back over what we're talking about for, but go over about this is praying for the lost, is of what to do, because lots of times people aren't doing it. Over the years I've shared things about this and done things, but I'm just going to go through some systematic things here about praying concerning individuals that are lost. There's probably not one of us that have family members or, you know, in people that we would like to see come to Christ. And lots of times we don't see anything happen, and the reason we don't is because we're not in line with the Word of God. We're, you know, praying and asking God to save somebody. God has done everything He's going to do about saving somebody. Jesus went and died for their sin already. God tells us in the Word, what you and I need to know about the Word, we need to find out what God has done for us. But the biggie is to find out what we're supposed to do. This is what most Christians, and this is the failure of Christianity, is not knowing what their part is. They're always trying to find out. You know, the promise box is all about what God did. And you know what? You know, there's been probably billions of promise boxes sold. But there's probably only thousands of people that know how to get any of those promises. Yes, because people are always like, well, God promised this. How do you get it? What's my part in getting it? See, people don't do that. One of the things, and I wanted you to get a hold of this, John Wesley said this. John Wesley made this statement. He said, it seems God can do nothing for humanity in the earth unless someone asks. He said, it seems that God... Now, he said, it seems in that way. So in other words, John Wesley was known as a prayer. So in other words, he must have found out in prayer, it seemed, he must have run into some of these things about, you know, praying. In other words, man's part. Now we know this. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read you verses 7 and 8. And it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen. How many times you just go back to God all the time about the same thing over and over? Do you know what that is? Jesus said that's acting like a heathen. There are ministers and ministries who teach people to act like heathens. Oh, you just keep playing, you just keep going over and over with God again and 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 again. Jesus said that's acting like a heathen. Vain repetition. Vain, it's vain. Doesn't produce anything, it doesn't. He said vain. Now listen to what he says. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In other words, God knows what you need. But we need to understand this, because God knows what you need. And here's another thing we need to get a hold of. I've heard people say this over the years. Well, I don't bother. God knows what I need. Well, I mean, you're ever going to get a thing. God can know what you mean, but that don't need. But He didn't say, the Bible tells us, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say, God knows what you need, so you don't have to ask. It doesn't matter. God knows everything. You know, God looks at every sinner and says, they need saved. Do they get saved because they need it? And He knows they need it? No! And I want to tell you that, because God has been dealing with me in this, is... He said this to me. He said, you've said a lot of things over the years, but he said, there are people who sit in the church and have never changed the way that they thought years ago. Even though you say it to them time and time again, they still going back over to what they already believed before. You see, there's one thing, and I found this dealing with the areas of change. Change does not come at a snap of a finger. You want to change what you believe. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to sit and systematically take time, hours and hours of just meditating and studying on the subject you want to change in. I don't care. You're going to have me. It's like, you can ask Wanda about it. If I sit down and I get like Randall Greer has his meetings and that stuff. I take months and listen over the same stuff over and over again all the time. I've done that with healing and whatever. But to make that change, to come to the place where I can grab a hold of believing the right thing. I don't care if you heard me preach it. That don't mean you got it in you and it's going. It might be in me, but that don't make it in you. Because you heard me say it. You got to get it in you. The same way I got to get it in me. It doesn't change. I didn't eat lunch 4 weeks ago, and then today I'm just walking around just as healthy. I ate lunch, and as Kenneth Hagin said this, he said, most Christians, he said, they eat 3 meals a day for their body and one cold snack a week for their inner man. And then they're trying to operate on faith. You don't do that. When you get over and you get into serious problems, it takes serious measures. Do you want to change? Is dealing with this suffering thing. Do you really want to change? It's going to require something to make a change. And so you're going to have to push into that area. You're going to have to push it. I always thought about Aretha Hagin was Kenneth Hagin's wife. We called her Mom Hagin because she was a spiritual mama to us just to really appreciate her. But now here's a woman who had been around, a man teaching on faith and all that kind of stuff and healing and things. And later in her life, she had gotten a blockage in her heart. And the doctor said about, so what she did is She said she went and took the tape of healing scriptures that her husband had made, reading all these healing scriptures. And she would just listen to them for hours and hours on end and just listen to those scriptures over and over again and listen to them over and over. Now, do you think that lady didn't know nothing about healing? She had done set under her husband's preaching for how long? Most people ain't doing what they need to do to get healed or get whatever her finances or whatever they need. They ain't doing it. They ain't doing what they need to do. And she said, I did that. She said, I went for weeks on end and listened to them. And she said, my next trip to the doctor, she said, when I went in and they checked me, the blockage was gone. What did she do? See, it depends what you want. Depends what you want. And so, there's a lot of things in here. We definitely have a casualness about things. If you're going to get a hold of things, you're going to have to take time to sit down and park and turn everything else off. If you don't do that for some hours on end, numbers of times, nothing's going to change. You're going to find very little change. You're going to have to do that. You want to step over in the areas of supernatural? You ain't going to that place one Sunday a week and maybe miss some of those. You ain't going nowhere. Woo! Boy, that was good preaching. Let's get over and meddle about something else. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, we want to talk about reaching loved ones. Number one, you have to know your authority in prayer. And this might sound basic, but I'm going to talk about some basic things because if we don't, nothing changes. We got to be settled on the fact about our authority. Jesus said this in John 16:23. You've heard this, you know it. You might be able to quote it, but that don't mean you're operating in it. Jesus said this, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. He'll give it to you, whatever you ask the Father. So in other words, when we come praying and coming concerning an individual, we're going to specifically look concerning praying for somebody who's lost. So we need to know this concerning ourselves, entering prayer. Because there's things, now this might sound simple to you, but this is where most people fail. This is where people get repetition in prayer because they'll pray and ask and then things don't seem to be working like they think and they go back to the same thing asking. So they don't know this scripture. They're not in faith with this scripture that they asked, God heard them and God gave it to them. He'll give it to you. They lose that and they go back and do the same thing over again in repetition, which shows they did not believe that. See, you got to come to the place. When I pray and ask God, He heard me. That's the end of the subject. What I see sometimes, my flesh will say, "You ought to do that again," and I know I ain't going to do that. God heard me when I ask. We ain't going back to that number again. I don't run and ask somebody else, you pray for it. I ain't getting it, so you pray for it for me. So you do this. See, a lot of people, that's what they're doing. They're trying to find somebody. Maybe Benny Hinn can pray for it since I can't get it. And I'll get him to use his faith where I can't use mine. And so people get over into it. Get yourself settled. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. That need, you need maybe to meditate on that. You know, he said he'll give it to you. Well, that's it. See, anything, if you don't, any praying beyond for anything else and you're not settled in that, the rest of it is pretty vain praying. It isn't going to amount to much. You got to be the settled. God already heard me on this number. We ain't trying to make this thing work. He said he already gave it to me. Glory to God, I got it. I'm not trying to get him to give it to me. But we go back over. It's because we don't get settled in these things. Get settled. This is why the Lord told me to go over these. He said they're basics, but people need to have it or these things don't work. Get settled. When I pray, God hears me. Glory to God. And when God hears me, I get it. Jesus said that. Is there any doubt? He didn't say, you know, sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he said no. You put that stuff in. Well, maybe this or maybe that. He just gave a straight statement that's simple, easy to understand. All I have to do is believe that. Anything added to it is called a lie. It's that simple. Don't call God a liar by adding to it. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Now, so in other words, we have the authority to ask. You're given that authority to ask. That is your part to ask him and believe he gives it to you. That's your part. That's not his part. That's your part. Hallelujah. He's already decided. Now, one of the things that I want to say this to you at the time of praying, here I would say, and the Lord said this to emphasize this, because this is where most of the time most Christians miss it because of what they don't do. This really is a sign of faith which most Christians do very little of ever when they pray. And it's called thanksgiving. They ask God and never act like he heard him and answered it. Never. You know what I see people? I can always tell when people got something that God gave them to them out of mercy and not out of faith. When it shows up, they get so excited. I learned a long time ago, right in the middle of the troubles, I do a lot of dancing and shouting. If you haven't danced and shouted yet that God fixed your problem, when in the middle of the problem, you don't know much about faith. I take a running spell every now and then when things are going bad. Glory to God! God's taking care of this. Glory! Hallelujah! And it don't look like nothing's being taken care of. Hallelujah! But that's faith. I believe he's taking care of it. I ain't moved by what I see or what I feel. We're going to go into Thanksgiving. Listen in Philippians. Philippians. Listen to the scriptures here. Philippians, the 4th chapter. This you got to worry about your prayer life, praying. So you're going to pray. And we're talking about praying for the lost. You want to pray for somebody that's lost? Be anxious for nothing. Quit worrying about them. Stop it. Worrying's a sin. Worrying as much as a sin as adultery and anything else. Worry is a sin. Stop worrying. Don't go around telling people, I'm trying to. When you use the word, I'm trying, what you're saying is I ain't going to change this thing. God never told you to try not to worry. He said, don't. Trying is the sign. When a person tells me they're trying, I know this. They ain't going to try to. They ain't going to change. It's going to be the same. They're going to just keep doing what they're doing. I'm not trying to fix the thing. Glory to God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I had to turn around and try to obey 47 times in that same thing. But I said, I'm going to obey God. I don't care what. I'm not going to keep, well, I'm just doing my best. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Why don't you lean on grace, on God's best? Because your best will never get it done, so forget it. Your best, just give up. You're better off not even trying if you're just going to shoot on your best. Don't even bother. I lived for 30 years in my best, and boy, it didn't turn out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, quit your worrying. It says, but in everything, what? by prayer and supplication. In other words, prayer, supplication. And we're asking God for things. We're praying, seeking knowledge from God, whatever else. We're doing those things. What do you say? With thanksgiving. Well, what's the thanksgiving there for? Well, you're supposed to be acting like he's hearing your prayer and answering it for you. That's what you're supposed to do. You would surely get a smile on your face and be happy if you thought that was working. You wouldn't be gloomy and doomed and all that kind of stuff. You'd be excited. See, this, folks, this is the faith life. This is the faith life. The faith life is smiling in the middle of trouble. The faith life is praising God, boy, when it don't look like there's nothing to praise for. Over the years, I've had people come, well, you know, dude, church, I just couldn't worship. It just didn't feel. And I just, yeah, well, you couldn't worship because you know nothing about faith. When you got trouble or problems, you can't worship. In other words, God ain't God unless you're feeling good. Whew. I'd hate to think you're the one pulling the switch on it, dear Lord. You're glad, you know, those people don't control God. We'd all be in big trouble. You go worship God, you magnify God. This, the time of faith is when in the midst of all the problems, you do the shouting, you do the thanksgiving. You're doing it in the middle of it. God, you heard me. God, ain't nothing changed. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. Nothing has changed. It matters not. Hallelujah. You said you gave it to me. Glory to God, it's mine. I got it. Hallelujah. I have it. I'm not trying to get it. Glory. It's good preaching, folks. Says, what do we do? That's how you let your request be known to God. If you don't have thanksgiving in it, you're not following the word. You're not following the word. And most people don't. Most people are waiting for something to happen. Then I'm going to believe I got it. When I see something, when things change. Because this is one thing. You're going to have a hard time praying for lost people if you ain't going to be happy till you see it changed. You're going to be miserable maybe a long time. You're going to be miserable for an awful long time. This is why. This stuff is for your benefit. This is why if you do your part, you ain't going to be unhappy. You ain't going to be walking around saying, oh my, what they're doing. Oh, and worrying about all this stuff. So you got to believe God is doing what you ask according to his word. And thank him continually that he's done it. That he's done what you ask. Glory to God, he's done what you ask. Praise God, he's done it. That's what faith is about unseen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If seen moves you, then that's unbelief. If you respond to that, that's unbelief. You can't be moved by what you see happening to it. Don't be moved by it. What is happening in the natural does not change God. God changes not. So I know this, if I ask him and he said he did it, he did it. Hallelujah. To believe and act in any other way is an action of calling him a liar. He hasn't done it yet. He didn't do it. Hallelujah. He did it. See, we're just getting to the things about praying. See, if you don't get this stuff in you, because I know this, when you're dealing with people that you love and it ain't changing, I know what happens to people. 99% of Christians follow their emotion and what they see. And what happened? It kills their praying. It didn't do them any good to pray. Because God can't bring it to pass because they keep acting in their emotions on the things with the people. And we're talking about these things. It's number one. I've learned these things over time. You know, sometimes you got to ignore what people are doing. You praying for people, I learned this. Folks, I pray for you guys all the time and ignore what you're doing. God shows me things, why things ain't changing in people, and I think something, I pray, but I can't look at what's, I can't be moved by what's going on. Because if I was moved by what's going on, I'd quit praying for you. You would. You're a little wearing it out. You got to be the point. See, people, it's like I was told one time, you know, because I didn't worry about people and a problem was going on. I wasn't loving. I was the only guy in the crowd loved anybody. The rest of them were all moved by their worries and fears of what they saw going on in people. You know, the Bible says that the good work he started in you, he'll bring you to completion. It said he will. He didn't say Ed would, so I don't have to worry and get all fussed out about whatever you do. I don't have to do that. Glory to God. He said he can bring it to completion. That's his job. If he can't do it, he ain't big enough. He ain't God, and he ain't worthy to follow. Hallelujah. He's God. If he can't straighten you out, what's a chance this guy got? I have enough trouble with me. Dear Lord. That's why you want to get over in this area where you can walk in this place of faith, because this is the place where you'll run into peace. And you won't have it any other place. You can't have peace by what you see. Can you just look around our world today and have peace? Can you? Well, so can you go by what you see? Can you listen to what you hear going on out here? Can you have peace? No. You will never have it. But I got peace that passes understanding. Peace that passes understanding is simply this: peace that's not moved by what it sees and hears and feels. That's peace that passes all understanding. Because people don't understand that. Did you notice that? Most Christians never understand that. Because they believe you have to be moved by what you see, feel, and that's what they believe. And they don't like it. You make them nervous when you're not nervous. Yeah. When you're not nervous, wow. What's wrong with you? Hallelujah. See, God wants you to come to this place. You're not losing a heart and love for people because you don't act out in the flesh along with them. Because you don't respond in the way they respond. Do we see Jesus going crazy when something happened to somebody? Oh my God, what are we going to do? We just need to pray. We got to change. Oh my God, pray. Call everybody, get the prayer team. Oh my God, we got to get this. Jesus ever do that? Bible says, be like Jesus. That's the last thing it seems the church wants to be like. They all want to be nervous wrecks, worried about something. We don't want to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want, because you got to have it, peace that passes all understanding. You will never have divine health if you don't. You'll never have it. Worries and anxieties will always cause your body to act up. It will. Believe me, that was one of the great suffering things I had to go through in life, was learning about divine healing, is giving up, worrying about things, giving up, not just getting over in this place where people love to try to drag you to all the time, over to that place. They want to take you along with them on that ride. And you can't. You can't. Somebody's got to be a leader. Why not you? I'm not waiting for a leader in this nation. I'm a leader. I want to lead to something. Best thing is be a leader. Not wait for one. Be one. Hallelujah. Set yourself. I'm going to have answers in times of trouble. That's what I want to have answers for people in times of trouble. I want people to have success. Hallelujah. And we're not going to have success. So you get away from this. So this number, you understand your authority. And number two, when you pray, use thanksgiving in your results and prayer. Now, one of the things that you have to do, and here's a thing we need to grab a hold of when we're dealing with people. We love even ourselves sometimes. And that's dealing with demon powers. We need to understand most people doing what they do, and especially sinners, are yielded to demonic powers. Understand that. Quit looking at them. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12, Apostle Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. And then it tells us, what are we supposed to do? Watch what they do. And he says, you put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you what the armor of God is simply. The armor of God is getting the word in your spirit, soul, and body. That's what it is. You get it in your mind. You get it in your get your body obeyed. Get it inside of you, into your spirit. And then you take the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and use that thing. That's what you do. That's what putting on the armor. This is how you stand. It says stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you notice there's wiles of the devil going on out here? Do you ever see that? Wiles of the devil? The wild devil going on out here doing all that he does? Well, you know what? We're not supposed to be moved or worried about it. We have authority over him. Now, one of the things we know and you need to understand is when you're dealing with the lost specifically, you're definitely dealing with a person who Satan is blind. Listen, 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and in starting at verse 3, I'm going to read 3 and 4, it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are," what? "Perishing." It's veiled. They can't see it. This is why you have a hard time reaching sinners and saying that, "I just don't understand why they can't see." It's because Christians, the person usually that's doing the complaining, has never done what the Bible said concerning the person. So therefore, the person never sees. Now, listen to what he says. They're perishing. What? Listen to this. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Who's the God of this age? Satan. He's the God of this age. He has blinded them from seeing, "who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Satan is keeping them blinded so they can't see. Right now, we have this in the church world. Much of the church world has accepted a lot of different false doctrine stuff. And you know what? You talk to them about it, and they can't see. They're on their little trip. You're dealing with demons. They've accepted things, and demons are blinding them from stuff. And they can't see. There's Christians that I've seen over the years. And, you know, you try to talk to them about things, they have blind spots in them where they've yielded demonic powers, and they can't. You try to talk to them, and they will not listen to you in things. It's demonic. It's not natural. It isn't natural that a person can hear something from their ear, and it's obvious what it is. We're dealing with demons. And understand, we don't like to think about this. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, this person in my family, they're nice and this and that." They don't like to hear it. You know, they got a demon problem. They don't want to hear it. "I'm praying for them. They need Jesus, but they're really not that bad." No, they're owned by the devil, and the devil's blinded them. But see, we don't want to hear that. We have this nice, clean Christianity we got today that we have to have this little nice, you ain't allowed to say any of this stuff. So this is why people don't get reached. The world is in trouble because of devils. And when you identify that concerning your loved one, I don't care how much you love them, the devil's blinding them. They're yielded, they have a devil problem. And unless that's dealt with, they're going to stay blind. This is not being mean to anybody. This is good sense. This is called wisdom. Wisdom's crying out on the streets and the church don't listen. Wisdom is available. It is so today, in this day and age, it is so easy to get wisdom from God. I am totally shocked. My God, I hardly have to do a thing anymore, and God will give me, and I think, man, I used to really go after it to try to get into this thing, like things are running me over now, you know. Wisdom's easy to get. But you know what? If you walk around with blinders on, you can't see it. And people say, "Boy, I'll tell you, things are just hard and they're this and they're that." Who? What? We're living in two different places. What is it? The blinding of Satan. But see, we don't deal with that. We don't deal with the devil anymore. You know, we don't talk about the devil because, you know, he's fictitious. You know, people are just good or bad, and, you know, they're just, you know, sometimes. Now, we need to understand this because, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, he said, "As surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We see these individuals, and these individuals may be bound, but we need to understand, we must take our authority. God will do nothing about taking that blindness off that individual. God doesn't do anything about that. You and I have been given the authority. In Mark 16:17, "These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, you'll cast out devils." You'll cast out devils. Who will? You will. Dealing with demons. Now, we need to understand these things. We're going to be the ones who are going to have to deal with Satan concerning the blindness of the individual. And this is important because you're going to have to do this. Realize that the person can't see. You got to come to that. Just because you're saying words to them, that means nothing. Think about this. Jesus came and preached and, you know, did all these things, all these miracles, signs, and wonders that he did, all these things, all the word that he preached. We have John wrote and said if everything was written down that Jesus did, he said he didn't know if the earth could contain the amount of books. 3.5 years, he did all that. Now just think about it. Israel, almost all the majority of Israel, denied the Messiah. So, does just saying stuff to people get their attention? Just doing a miracle get a hold of them? People can just say just as blinded. It's one thing dealing with people in blindness. Now, some people, you need to understand this, and this is why it's being led by your spirit. Sometimes people see and don't want it. You have to know the difference. That's why you have to listen to the inner man. You can't tell that by what you see. You know, this is what people see sometimes. I know praying for individuals, even Christians. I have prayed for about stuff and praying for individuals. I've had this happen a number of times over the years. Praying in individuals, going through things, going through problems. And the Lord would speak to me and said, you can't change that. They know what to do and won't do it. They know. You see, I didn't know that they knew. I was assuming they didn't know. I was praying, assuming they didn't know. He said, they know. And won't do it. He said, "It ain't do any. You can't do nothing. Ain't going to do you any good to pray for them. They already know." See, this is where you got to be led by the Spirit. Because we can't just look at people and tell. We just can't look at people and know what's going on. You need to understand that. That's why you cannot be moved by what you see. You can only be moved by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. See, that's where the Holy Ghost, he takes the things that belong to Jesus and reveal them to us. There's things about people you don't know. You don't know what's in people's heart. Sometimes people are doing wrong things on the outside. Their heart's right. They're just dumb in their head. They're not dumb. And you have to know that. Or you can waste your time thinking about people in a wrong manner. You must know that. That's why as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Don't say as many as have got born again, these are the sons of God. Even though you are a son to God, you'll never live like one till you learn to listen on the inner man. You'll never have a prayer life that'll be successful till you learn to yield to the inner man too. You just can't, the Word of God can't be just like this script thing that you put down and just, you know. I remember years ago, and everybody would have all these different prayers that they would pray, and they had all these word stuff that they would pray, and they would just, you know, go through their prayer book, and blah, 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 just go right down through the prayer, and that just sounded really nice, but they weren't listening to the Spirit. It didn't end up to amount to anything. It was a good thing that they knew what the Word said about in prayer, but it had been much better if they had listened to the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes they were praying and praying and praying and praying, and nothing's changing. It's because they weren't listening to the Holy Ghost about what is actually going on. Their prayer life is guided by their seeing. That's what guides their prayer life. Let me just say this. This Holy Spirit just brought this up in me. There's some people, and there's one sitting right here, your health problem doesn't come from the idea of not knowing the Word and believing the Word. There's certain things that if you'd obeyed and changed in your life, your healing would come quickly. Woo! I'm just telling you. The Holy Ghost just brought that up in me. I found it out. There's things that I've learned in my life. Things came along and I got attacks and I stopped and I thought, things ain't changing. What do I need to do? There's something I got to make a change. Something's going on. Finding out about that change. When I made that change, everything else lined up. See, we like to have this nice, we want a Bible that has this nice little categories. Throw this switch, pull that lever, I got it. Not the way it works. It's not the way it works. The Word's not like that. You just don't flip switches and I just did this. See, we have this idea of the faith people. I make confessions, it'll come to pass. That ain't the only thing that makes this thing work. Jesus said, if you have anything against your brother, go get it fixed. And then come back and offer your sacrifice. In other words, you ain't getting what you asked for till you get that fixed. There's things that got to be fixed sometimes. Sometimes it's just downright disobedience. People know what they're supposed to be doing. You know, they walk for years and God bless them, but eventually it'll come to a head of what God told them to do that they've never done. And eventually it'll come to that. And they'll wonder why things are happening, why things don't change. And you have to find it. So we've got to be led by the Spirit. Stop and say, Lord, this ain't working. See, I learned to be quick at that. I learned to be quick, and I don't go on for years and things not working. I don't like to suffer through that. Let's get the suffering done that I need to do and get this fixed quickly. If it needs to be really painful right now, let's get the painful right now. If you got to, you know, if you got to take the finger off, take the finger off. Let's do it. Let's get this thing fixed. You know, don't give me pain pills for 6 years and say, well, it's all right, we'll just let it go. No, let's get her fixed. That's a good way to do it. Hallelujah. Well, it's good preaching. But what we want to, what we're doing here is that is we need to get ourselves where we're going to continue, you know, with God. Dealing with the demonic problem. We're going to have to deal with that. And we're going to have to stand concerning it. Take authority over that spirit, over that person in the name of Jesus. Take authority over it. That blinds them. Command it to stop and cease. Now, this goes right back to what, you know, concerning our faith. Whatever we bind on earth, again, you know, whatever we ask and we pray. See, if you don't have those things in you, the rest of the things that I'm talking about aren't going to work for you. You got to be settled in the fact that when I do this, when I bind the devil over them, that devil's bound. When I do that, it's a working. Well, it don't look like it is. It don't matter what it looks like. You know, we have in scriptures, you know, where it says, you know, concerning like even with healing or the woman who came to Jesus about her daughter having a demon. It says it came out that very hour. In other words, it didn't come out instantly. So see, I can't be moved by what I see, can I? This is what people do. They just keep going back. Till they see a change, then they got faith. That's not faith. That's not faith. But you need to bind that. We need to bind, especially. You're praying for an individual who is lost. You need to understand they're under Satan's dominion. Somebody who has authority over Satan has to deal with that. That has to be dealt with. It has to be by somebody who has authority over them. You know, sometimes people, you know, say, well, you know, I got a loved one. They're praying for their loved one like their loved one is saved. You need to know if your loved one is actually saved. A lot of people who are acting like the devil is because they are the devil. They're one of the devil's kids. And they say they're a Christian, and they never been a Christian. They say, I believe in Jesus. I get half America to say they believe in Jesus. Do you believe half America believes in Jesus? They're God. They did a survey back here just a few years ago, and almost 80% of Americans that were surveyed said they believed the Bible was the Word of God. I laughed so hard when I read that, I thought, dear God, I bet there wasn't 10% in the bunch believe the Bible was the Word of God. Even the saved ones, I would hardly believe that they believe the Bible was the Word of God, because most saved people wouldn't act like they do if they believe the Bible was the Word of God. I don't pay no attention when somebody tells me they're Christian. We're going to talk to God about that one. Hallelujah. Why? Because if you don't, you'll never pray for them, right? You don't pray for them what they need. Always trying to put a Band-Aid on, never finding out what the real problem is. So the Lord spoke to me years ago and said to me, he said, you're like a doctor that treats symptoms. He said, you never deal with the cause. Woo. He talks so sweet to me, you know. He's always whispering sweet stuff in my ear. He said, you're like a doctor. I'm going to tell you what, most of you are in that category. Now, I'm not saying that critically. You're like a doctor that treats symptoms. You got to find cause. What's the cause? It says the curse don't come without a cause. Well, why did it come? How would it get knocking on my door? Have I done something wrong? Is this attack? I haven't done anything wrong. Just the devil's coming at me. Or have I done something? See, I need to know those things. Can I close this door and keep it closed? Or maybe I'll patch it for a time, but it'll stay open and things. If I don't deal with cause, it will. It'll just keep coming back. It'll just cycle itself. You know, most people don't deal with things and their emotions and that stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, and folks, I see this among people all the time. And I learned about this when I was a young Christian, when I first got saved and I was at worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I knew people went through emotional cycles. They went through them, you know. I could tell, you know, within so many months, they'll be in a certain cycle again. They'll be over here, and they'll go through these problems that they got. They'll start over here. And then you go down through, and you let maybe 6 months go past, they'll be back to it again. Christians do that. all the time. They have cycles they run through. If they would learn to deal with causes with things, the cycle would stop. The cycle don't stop because they never deal with cause. They're always changing. They're the Band-Aid prayers. You know, God fix this problem. Oh, boy, Lord, do something. And things, you know, subside for a while. We get a little breather. But it's coming back. It's going to happen. You're going to be back in it again. See, you want to come to the place you can close doors. Now, some of this comes from people because of where they are, you know, what they've learned spiritually. Sometimes, you know, people because of their spiritual growth wise. If you don't do things, one of the things that I decided when I was a young Christian was I wasn't going to wait like most Christians do and have a 27-year spiritual development to finally get out of babyhood. I decided I'm growing up. I ain't playing. And I really started pushing into the Word of God, into prayer, spending time with God to learn to know what do I need to learn to do. See, most people, they don't do that. You know, they'll go to church, they'll listen to somebody else preach, but they don't spend much time on themselves. You know, I will guarantee you, most of you spend more time in the mirror in the morning and then over the years than you have spend time with God. You spend more time taking care of yourself on the outside and going shopping and doing this and doing that than you do with God. Most people spend a whole lot more time on their phones and on their computers than they do with God. We're guilty, so get over it. Don't sit there and go, whoa, boy, whoa, boy. You've known it. No use going through this junk of the stuff that we do, you know. Maybe we ought to preach about something else, okay? We'll go over to something else. But I'm just telling you, I found if I wanted to push through, I have to push through to it. It is something, it's always going to require me time for success. Nobody ever got to be a doctor going 2 days a week to a class. It would take them 400 years. They would never live long enough to become a doctor. But yet we run to them and think they ought to do it free. While we do nothing from ourselves to have success. And we want the people to have success, the socialism. You come and take care of me. The people who are successful, you come and take care of me. You know, our wonderful state guys up here, they want to control how much a doctor can earn. We're going to set prices. This is our wonderful Republicans in Utah. We want to set, we're going to make cheap health care by making them donate. Those guys spend fortunes. Some of them have millions of dollars in debt for their schooling. Millions! And we want to go and give them 25 bucks and go. I mean, tell you, that ain't nothing but evil, hatred, self-centered selfishness. I can get healing free. We're going to something else here, okay? We're going. Yeah. Well, it's good. You need, hey, these attitudes are why people are sick. These attitudes, this wanting somebody else's stuff, that's called covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Our nation is full of covetousness. The church is filled with covetousness. You know, a lot of, when it comes to God, most Christians are covetous. They just want what he got. And they ain't about to give him what they got. He ain't nothing but Santa Claus, supposed to be making them their toys and bringing them to them. Write him a letter and having the nerve to say, I've been good. Woo! Somebody throw water on this man. Folks, this is touching in, but we got to deal with this stuff. You know, as the Lord made a statement to me back years ago and said, attitude's everything. You can know the right thing, but your attitude's wrong. It ain't working. You got to deal with your attitude. Praise God. You learn to deal with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want doctors to be blessed. Some guy went to school a whole bunch. I want him to be blessed. He deserves it. He deserves to make good money. He has spent a bunch of money to get there. He's had to go through all the knucklehead stuff that the government requires to become a doctor. He deserves good bucks. You don't deserve free. You don't deserve free. God gave you free. Why don't you take that one? That was a good, one, Eddie, out there. If I'm going to a doctor, I never begrudge them their money. Never. I know what I can do if it bothers me. I can stay home. My God. This man and his preaching. Hallelujah. Now listen to what it says. I want you to understand this now. Asking the Father, we need to ask the Father to draw a person. Listen what Jesus said. Here again, this is Jesus. You need to get this. Jesus said this, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Listen, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, many times you need to understand it. People are not being drawn. They're not being drawn because I'm going to find out why. Now, we need to understand this from the Scripture. Because now in 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in other words, we know this, the Father must draw somebody to Jesus. But we know this, that the same God wants everybody saved. So what's the conclusion? Ask God to draw the person. If you don't ask God to draw the person, they don't get drawn. We're not praying for people to get drawn. See, faith people know little about the Bible. All they know is you get this promise, go confess it, confess it, confess it, but really don't understand it. So there's a lot of things, you know, well, I'm just believing they'll be saved. Well, good luck. This is why you need to know what the Bible says, and you find out, and when you approach God, when I'm praying specifically for a person that's lost, I come to God, and I get these scriptures. I don't go to God just off the top of my head. I give Him these scriptures. I tell Him, this is, Lord, what You said. They must be drawn. Now, You're willing, Lord, that none should perish and all should come to repentance. So I'm just asking You right now, You're going to draw them, hallelujah, because You don't want them lost. So I want to thank You, Lord, for drawing them, because I asked. You see, you come in line with the Word. We come in the line with the Word for us. If you don't know what the Word says, you have nothing to sustain you while you stand in faith. Your patience will fail you. Your patience will fail. Us and our confession of the Word isn't about God. It's about us. It's about me. My confession maintains me. It don't maintain God. He already answered it. He's done. My confession isn't trying to get God to do it. I'm not trying to get God to do it. It's about me maintaining my faith that I have it. Glory to God, it belongs to me. When it don't look like it, anything belongs to me. When it don't look like I got a thing. Don't look like anything on my prayer answered. And I go back to the Scripture. The Scripture says this. This is true. It's the Word of God. He changes not. I ask Him, therefore the person is being drawn. I ask. I received. Hallelujah. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Don't say, ask, and it might show up someday. And just keep asking until one day it shows up. He said, you ask, you will receive. Praise God. When I ask him to draw that individual, He is now drawing that person. God's drawing him. Praise God. Whenever I think about it, I say, thank you, Lord God, for drawing that individual. And if I see him acting even worse than they ever did, I say, Lord, I'm just so glad you're drawing them. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't go back and say, oh, Lord, help them. Things are just getting worse. This is what people do. They go back and whine about the person and what they're doing to God. Like, God, get off your lazy rear end and do something. You ain't doing nothing. What are you doing? I've been asking you, and where have you been at? Tell Gabriel to wake him up. Well, I tell you what, it stings a little, don't it? If you do that.
If you can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. Some of you need to say it. But I'm just telling you, these are scriptures. I mean, we should know these things. These things are, people have their yearly Bible readings they go through and that stuff. And don't know them. It's like, just reading through the Bible, you got to study the Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we pray, when we go concerning that individual, we have to pray, according like Matthew 21, 22 says, and whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So if I ask God to draw them, whatever I ask believing, I will receive it. So in other words, I will receive that. God's going to draw the person. Glory to God. I'll receive that. Hallelujah. Then again, you know, John 16, 24, until now you've asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Listen to that. Ask. Jesus said, ask so your joy can be full. See, you ought to be happy. You shouldn't be looking at what's going on. You ought to be, woo, glory to God, I ask, hallelujah, my joy's full. What I ask is coming to pass. God's drawing that individual. God's drawing him. Hallelujah, am I glad. Glory to God. Another thing to do is what Jesus did concerning and reaching people in Israel, and which is a thing. As going across their path. One of the mistakes that most people make is this, especially when it comes to close relatives and different things and like that. Well, sometimes you have to deal with them on stuff. But one of the things is do is people try to be the one who reaches them. We think we got to tell them all the time. We're the ones that got to be working at this thing. We're always laboring. Usually, and I'm glad, I got the wisdom of God from Kenneth Hagin. I remember saying that as a young Christian. I was listening to a tape, but he said, most of the time your relatives ain't going to pay no attention to you. They ain't going to listen to you. I surely found that out. They don't pay no attention to you. So what you do is you waste your time. But also in this, sometimes you just harden them because God's not leading you to talk to them. And when you talk to them, you harden them. You just frustrate them more. We don't, you know, it's one thing for preachers to generally preach to a congregation. It's another thing to go to an individual. You want to know God is telling you to say that, to go to an individual and say something. You want to know that. And especially when it comes to relatives, most of the time relatives, it's a thing of pride. And for the one, usually it's a thing of pride for the person that keeps going and hounding them. It's two people in pride. They're not making things work. It's not important who reaches them. It's important that they're reached. That's the important thing. It isn't who does it. I don't care if he sends a guy from Mars to come down and reach. I don't care. Whatever it takes. Get them reached, Lord Jesus. And this is what Jesus did in Matthew 9:38, when Jesus sent his disciples, said, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. And you learn to do this. Ask God. See, we can ask anything in his head. God knows who would best that person would respond to, or what best that person would respond to. Now, you need to understand this. So we could pray and ask the Lord, because Jesus did this. He said, pray and ask the Lord to send laborers in the harvest, and then he turned around and sent out the 12 and the 70. So in other words, God instructed him, send these ones out. In other words, God will send laborers. You want to pray for God to come, for someone to come along their path that they'll listen to. You know, I learned a long time ago concerning like my mama would never listen to a thing. I got saved, you know, men in ministry, and my mama never paid a bit of attention to me of anything that I would say that she would ever have agreed it was from God. Mama, you know, I was still the little boy. She's the mama, and she knows everything. So trying to talk to my mama about spiritual stuff was like, you know, go down the bar and have a drink. You'd be better off than trying to sit and talk with her about it. You ain't getting nowhere with her anyhow. You know, when it came to me, she knew it all. And she was like that with the whole family. She'd never listened to nobody of the kids. But now, if she went to a doctor and he was 14 years old, she would listen to anything that doctor told her to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That doctor told her, go to the second floor, jump off, you know, you'll feel a lot better. She'd have been up the second floor if we'd had to drag her down. Because she'd say, oh, the doctor said do it. You know, didn't matter what their age was. Anybody else in the outside, somebody come and she'd say, you know, so-and-so told me this. So-and-so told me that. We had been trying to tell her that for 50 years. She never did listen to none of it. Why? Because you're her little kid. You're her babies. Now, you can choose that you want to grow up like that, or you can humble yourself because God might use one of your kids to tell you something. Most parents have a big problem. They don't listen. You get to that place, you know, they know everything. You know everything. You're smart. They don't know. I know. Well, God can use them too. Just like you could talk into their life, they might talk into yours. I tell you, my kids were little, especially Alyssa and Elena. They said many times God had them say things, and when they spoke, I realized God was talking through them on things. God was saying stuff. You need to pay attention. Hallelujah. But there's labors. You need to pray for God to send someone along their path. Now, sometimes, you know, they might see something on television or radio. Somebody might specifically talk to them. It's just like with myself, God reached me, the Holy Spirit just speaking to me. Because over the years, I knew concerning the things of the gospel. I knew it was preached. And I knew things. And God spoke to me. I wouldn't listen to the Christians around that I worked with. Most of them were a bunch of knuckleheads. They were. I mean, I never seen such unbelief in people that were problems and gossipers and everything else, and they were always complaining about the company and always doing this and doing that. And they were some of the biggest problems around. And they're telling you need Jesus. And I used to think about, dear Lord, what do you need? Say, if Jesus turns you out to be like this, dear Lord. So I wouldn't listen to them. I thought these people were crazy. And I was right. Most of them were. They were crazy. So God started dealing with me. The Holy Spirit started talking to me about things. So God knows how to reach a person. Allow God. Tell God. Whatever you got to do to reach that individual. If you need to send somebody across their path. If they need an angel to show up, send them one. Whatever. God, you do whatever needs to be done to get them, to get their attention, to get their attention toward the gospel. We want them saved. Hallelujah. Don't be worrying how he does it. Now, one of the things that you do want to do, take time to pray. If God does want you to say something, find out if he really does want you to say something. Find out. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If he does. Now, that doesn't mean you have somebody living in your house and they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. You need to deal with that. You need to. I'm talking about concerning their salvation, dealing with that. You just don't let them do any old thing they want to do or you don't do that. You know, it's like I said, somebody lives in my house, there's going to be certain rules. Ed's the king, Wanda's the queen, and there ain't no other positions. There's no other ones open. The rest are all serfs. That's right. We run the roost. Anybody can run any place that they pay for and take care of. They can be in charge. My daughters never went through things. I'm old enough to make my own decisions. I'd say I determine when you're old enough to make your and when you're allowed to. And you can when you get your own place and go live, make all the decisions you want. But here, mom and dad approve everything. And you don't decide, well, I'm old enough and I don't want to go to church. Well, you're going to be in the yard with your clothes. That's very simple. There's not discussions on the deal. There is none of that. And you know what? Did my girls grow up weird? They understood authority. They understood there was somebody wanting to put up with their knucklehead if they wanted to be. And that's what changed everything. But it's one thing as they knew, Daddy followed the Word of God. They knew Daddy heard from heaven. They knew they couldn't do things that I wouldn't find out about. They knew that. Because God would talk to me and tell me stuff. And they knew it. So Alyssa told Elena, if Dad, if you do something wrong, tell Dad. Because if you don't, he's going to find out. God will tell him. And then it's going to be big trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. These are good things. But you want to pray for the Lord of hosts. Send labor. Send somebody across their path. But listen. Take the time to listen concerning the person, you know. Now, Praying, I want to talk about this here in closing, about praying for the individual. After you've taken these steps that I'm talking about that you need to do, these principal steps, this is about knowing what the Word says so you can stand before God with confidence when you ask Him to do things. This is what His Word, I'm showing you these scriptures because this is for you. It's not for God. It's for you. It's about your faith. God don't have a problem with faith. He don't need what this tells you, your part that you must do. And you've got to know what the Word says. You've got to be confident, because if you pray for this and then you look out there and see the person doing things, because this is what happens. People look out there and they see the person start to doing things. Get a hold of this. It's one of the things. When God started to deal with me about my salvation, when He started dealing with me, I started acting up more than I had before. You need to understand this. The part that a person seems sometimes to act worse has nothing to do with God not dealing with him. It might just be God's dealing with him. Why? Because they're dealing with something that most Christians have never dealt with. They've never counted the cost. Some people count the cost. You know that? The average Christian today who comes to Christ will not follow Christ, because they are not bought into the kingdom counting the costs. And as they go along and they see there's cost, they'll go back out in the world and live in the world. The studies that have been done today is like today's Christianity. 60% in the Spirit-filled group, 60% of people who come to Christ in the Spirit-filled group will never follow Christ and will go out and walk and live in the world. Why? Because they're not bought to Christ scripturally. They're not bought to Christ. It's about getting notches on your gun. We're winning these people, winning these people. Oh, we're winning people to Jesus. Person don't follow God, what's the point? There's no point to winning people who don't follow, if they're not going to follow. And see, that's our fault. It's because of our not understanding the Word and our understanding of things. Because there is costs. We don't tell people it's going to cost you to follow. You're going to have different life. You can't have the same friends and the same stuff that you had before. You're not going to. You can't live the same life you did before. It's going to be changed. We don't tell them that. Oh, come to Jesus, He'll fix it. Boy, has it gotten fixed wonderful? I'll tell you what, it's gotten fixed. It's a terrible fix. We don't tell people. There's a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's cost for this stuff. It requires me my life. It requires me my time. It requires of me. So we need to get that with people. But it's when you get to the point when you pray these things, you need to do this and do this often. You need to constantly thank God that He's drawing the individual. You need to constantly thank God. When you think about that person, thanking God that they're being drawn. Thanking God that Satan is bound over them, that they can see what the truth is. Thanking God, hallelujah, since He's sending ones across their path, or somebody across their path, that they're hearing the Word of God. They're going to hear the right things. They're going to hear it. Begin to do that. You have to, and that's really hugely important. Here's something that you got to get to the point that you're not moved by what you see or hear or whatever the person is doing. Sometimes, I'm just telling you this, the best thing you can is, most of the time Christians, let's put it this way, are too nosy. There's one thing is I even learned my own children. I don't stick my nose in their business unless they come and they say something. Because you know what? I don't want to know. I want to walk by faith. I'm trusting God. Too many are too nosy. They want to know all this stuff that's going on and what's happening in the family. If you know everything that's going on happening in your family and that stuff, you're too nosy. You're a problem. You're a problem with them. You don't want to know everything. There's things you're better off not knowing. Some people are their own worst enemies. They're their own worst enemies, and they're the destroyers of their own faith. It's the best thing. There's sometimes I don't want to know. I've learned sometimes the people I pray for, I avoid them as much as I can because I don't want to see what they're doing. I don't want to know it. I want maintaining my faith for them. I want them to have a changed life. I don't want to watch their bad life. You have to learn to do that. You know, it's just like when I came to the kingdom, I was an alcoholic. I didn't go hang out in the bar. Christians do this. They're like this. They go pray for somebody and then go hang out in the bar. they go to a lousy place so they can watch every lousy thing go on with the person. And then, I got to get somebody else to pray. I got to get some. We got to learn not to do that. Now, today, I am much better at it. I can pray for people, and if I see what they're doing, I can learn to just, that's going on. We're praying for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's moving in spite of that. Hallelujah. God's moving. You got to learn. If you can't do that, avoid. Avoid as much as you can. Some things you just got to stay away from. You got to learn where your weaknesses and strengths are, because you don't. You have to learn that. I mean, that just makes good sense. You got to learn those things, where you can stand and where you can't stand. You got to learn that. And sometimes we just pray for people, and the better the avoidance is, the better it is, because some people got to be loved at a distance. God don't even get close to love them. He stands at a distance. I love you. I love you way over there. Okay, been there, haven't you? Hallelujah. Well, and it's like I said, many times people can seem to act worse. God starts dealing with a person, and man, I'll tell you what, that can really be a hard thing with an individual. Things start getting shaken up in a person's life. Because, you know, especially if a person starts counting the cost of things. You know, it's one of the things, I've seen this with Christians. I've seen God begin to deal with Christians, and they have a hard time, because if they straighten out, they're going to have to go ask some people to forgive them. They're going to have to straighten some things out, and they never want to do that. And they think about change, that their change, well, I can live and not have to do that. I'll put up with the nonsense that I have to put up with and the things that have been happening in my life so I don't have to go do that. Some people don't like to go say, hey, I blew it. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. You know, I learned with Wanda and I, if we have a disagreement about something going on, I'll go apologize if I didn't do anything, because I'm going to straighten this thing out. It's good for me just go humble myself. It's good to just say, hon, I'm wrong. This is it. We'll just draw the line on the thing. And, you know, why? Because I don't want her and I going on with it. I don't want it going on with us. I want to be blessed. I want her to be blessed. We want to bring it to, you know, bring it to a halt. And so you just have to learn to do that. Sometimes humbling yourself can be, you know, that can be a hard thing about stuff, is dealing with those kind of things. Sometimes people don't want to. They got to count the cost. It took me a long time to decide. Finally, I came one night. I decided I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. And I came down to think, because I looked at the fact, Wanda wasn't saved. And I thought, if I come to Christ, accept Christ, she may not. There's no guarantee in the Bible that if you accept Christ, your mate's going to follow Christ. Paul mentioned about it. He said, if they want to go, let them go. Paul never said. Now, they have heard these preachers, all the church, oh, yeah, you can pray and your mate will come in. Ain't no scripture to believe that. If God told you, fine. God told you your mate would come in. God never told me my mate was going to come in. Never told me about it. But I had to make a commitment. I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you, even if Wanda doesn't, whatever it does. Because, see, I thought about it. If we get separated, I don't want to be losing my kids. I thought, you have these things. Hey, this is the suffering over here in this, and to follow Jesus. Many people will not put up with the suffering. Many Christians will not put up. They'll go over here, I'll leave things the same rather than have to deal with that, because that seems too much. That's what I was going through. So I was acting a little more heathen. I was acting, you know, I was drinking more. I was doing things, because this is all on my mind. And I'm unsaved. And this is all on my mind. That's what I'm going to do. And then finally, I just knew I just have to do this, because what the Lord said to me, what's going to happen to your family if you keep going the way you're going? And I thought, I can't let my kids end up in hell because of my life. If I lose everything else, I want my kids going to heaven. So I just decided, my life don't matter no more. Some of you, your life matters too much. You've got to come down. That's just weighing these things out. What is the best? And I came down to the thing. I want my family in hell. So I'll have to suffer whatever I have to suffer so my family don't end up there. That's what I decided. And that night I accepted Jesus Christ. And surely my wife ended up coming months later. My wife came into the kingdom, and hallelujah, my kids, from the time they were little, they got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues when they were just little. And we just went along fine. But I'll tell you what, I had to think about it going into it. Thank God it turned that way. I know ones that didn't turn out well for it, who went.
But they made the right decision nonetheless. They made the right decision. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just talk about this in closing about praying in other tongues. You need to, because when you pray for an individual, I'm just going to encourage you to do this. When you, after you've prayed these things and concerning this person, don't pray about the person according to what you see going on. Don't do that. Don't get over into that, because that'll carry you right back into the unbelief junk. It will. You'll don't go there. When you pray for the person, pray for them in other tongues. See, this one thing is, praying in tongues is an absolutely phenomenal, marvelous, wonderful thing. Because you need to understand this. Unless God tells you what's working in an individual, what's going on, all you get to see is the symptoms of the outside. See, you can, let's take like disease. When the Lord said to me, you're like a doctor, only treat symptoms. When he said that to me, he said a person could have a headache for a number of reasons. He said a person could have a tension headache. He went on to different things that could cause a person a headache. He said, or a person could have a headache because he got a brain tumor. Now, he said the guy back here might take some aspirin because he has a tension headache, might make him feel better. But he said, you can take all the medication you want and that tumor is going to still be there. That's going to still be in the place. In other words, one fix don't fix everything. And see, if you only treat symptoms, things can look the same. But they're not. But understand this, God knows the motivation. He knows all the intents and the purposes of a person's heart. The Bible says this, he knows every thought. He knows everything you ever thought. Think about that. I'll scare you a little bit. You can't hide thoughts from God. He knows when we're thinking crazy. He knows we that's a dumb thought. He's wondering, well, now, what are they going to do with that thought? What are they going to do with it? Some people buy their thoughts and take them. Some throw them out. Say, no, I ain't having that one. We ain't taking that thought. He knows them. But in other words, God knows all this stuff concerning that. So he knows that individual. He knows what's making them work and making them tick. And if you're praying for them by what you see, you might be causing more problems than good, which usually you do. And this is the wonder of praying in other tongues. See, I've learned to do this, Lord. Lord, you know what's in. If you show me something you want me to pray out of my mentality of what I understand and know of the word, you want me to, I'll pray it. But Lord, I'm just going to yield to the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for so-and-so. And the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, you help me pray for their benefit to bless them and help them. And then yield to it and pray in other tongues for them. Don't get over in the thing. Don't get over. If you go over to the things, dealing with what you see and all this going on, you're going to cause more problems than good. You can't be moved by that. Praying in tongues. You know, in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. As Micah read that thing and he said that there's the inability to produce results. That word weakness. In other words, this is one thing. See, you and I have weakness. That's why God gave us tongues. We have a weakness in us. Our weakness is this, is we don't know everything. We're not God. Did you notice that? Most Christians think they're some kind of God. We don't know. They think they know it all. No, you don't. I don't know what makes things tick. I don't know. It's like, I consider, unless God would show me, I wouldn't know what Mike's, what things going on in his heart or whatever he is. I don't know. I mean, one time God did show me when they were going to build a house. God showed me something. They were going to build a lesser home. They were considering it. Building something lesser than what they did. And the Lord told me, I wouldn't have known it. I wouldn't have known that unless God told me. I wouldn't have known a thing about it. And the Lord said to me, you go tell Mike if he does it, if he builds that lesser house, I'm not going to be in it with him. Because that's not what's in his heart. You see, that's many times this is where many of you have messed up in faith. In your heart, you've had a certain thing you wanted, but you've accepted less. And you know what? It ain't turned out well for you. Why? Because it wasn't in faith. That wasn't what's in your heart to do. Faith is about what's in your heart, not what's, well, you know what? This would cost me more money to do this. But is that what's in your heart to have? Follow that. Follow what's in your heart. Follow what's in your heart to do. Don't follow what, because when you get looking around, the next thing you do, you'll find yourself, oh, well, maybe I ought to do something else. That's a bit of a stretch. That's exactly what you need to stretch your faith some. That's exactly. And God wanted him to do it. Did it work out well? Hallelujah! Worked out wonderful. They didn't miss a beat. So anyhow, but see, God worked a thing, and that's what it was. But see, God's intent, God wanted them to have what was in their heart. I couldn't have known that unless God told me. So unless God tells you something, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. They never came and said, you know, we're thinking about doing something. They never said that. They never told me anything about that. God did. So I couldn't have known it unless God did. Because last time I checked, Ed isn't omniscient. So I know some people think they are. But you're not. You don't know everything. And you don't know anything about the individual. There's things sometimes about Wanda. The Lord will show me something I didn't know. And he'll show me something. You can think you know your mate. Loads of people, you don't know your mate at all. Let me see, we can get so full of ourselves, we don't know the person around us. We're just so full of us. Sometimes we think they're a problem when we're the problem. Can this guy preach? I'm going to tell you. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I know, I've had the Lord how to deal with me about being the problem. If he hasn't dealt with you about the problems because you're backslid, you ain't listening. And sometimes we do hear exactly what they're saying, but that's what we want to do. Anyhow, let's go on to something else. We're just going to keep doing our thing till it kills us. I'll tell you what, having a great time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been in that position? This is the wonder of tongues. This is what's so beautiful. Most people run into this constantly. They don't know what to pray for as they ought. I run into it every day. I'm going to ask you how often you pray in tongues. Because most people don't. They only ever go as far as what they understand. And they know there's something more, and they never push beyond it. He says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That word there, utter, the word there is actually the word explained. In other words, what it's speaking about, in other words, the utterance of our own natural utterance of what we would say. See, you come to the place, you know, there's times I spend time worshiping, praising God. I will say to him, like we sing songs here, and that's wonderful. Do you ever worship beyond this? I sing in tongues all the time. There's always a song in me. I can sing in tongues at a drop of a hat. Why? See, because why? Natural words ain't enough. They can't express all I'd like to say to God. So I have to have the Holy Ghost help me worship him outside of Ed's little pea rolling around up there. And that's what you got too, that little pea that you think's a big marine up there. It's that little pea rolling around. The noise you hear is when it hits from one side to the other. That's what it is. I learned that. I just... And, you know, you got to get out of your mentality. And you know what? There's a fulfillment when I get over in the Spirit doing it that I don't have just doing it. You know? And you got to come over to that place to do that. This is the wonder of this thing. Being able to pray, Father, there's things I know need to be prayed out concerning this thing. I don't know what they are. I don't know. And you know what? Father, I don't have to know. Some of the things you need to understand this. God doesn't show you things about people because you don't need to know it. If you knew it, you'd be more trouble and it'd cause you more problems. You don't need to know. I never ask God to show me about other people. I don't ever ask him to. If he wants to, he can. But I don't ever ask him to show me. If he wants to, why? I found out my faith does better on that limited knowledge about that other person. You know too much, you're probably the worst person praying for him. Hallelujah. He's meddling again. Hallelujah. Now in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks in mysteries. See, there's mysteries that we can speak out, things outside of our knowledge. To me, that's wonderful. That is the most glorious things that I can pray. I can worship outside of my own abilities, outside of my own knowledge. Most people only pray and minister out of their own weakness. As far as it goes, their own weakness.
That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When Paul runs out of Paul, he hooks up with the Holy Ghost. The average Christian, when they run out of themselves, that's as far as they go. No, when I run out of me, and I found out, I run out of me pretty quick sometimes. I run out of my ability. I run out of it quick. Hallelujah. Get over in the spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. He says, what? But my understanding is unfruitful. See, it's about tongues. You don't know what you're saying. But here, it requires faith to pray in other tongues. It doesn't run by feelings. When I first started off, I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, when I was a young Christian, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. A couple months after I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'd pray in tongues. And I just said, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I had no great feeling of anything. I started talking tongues. You know, as people say, sometimes people say big things happen to them. I didn't really notice that. I started talking in tongues, and so I started using it. I started praying in tongues. So I'd pray in tongues, and the devil just would bug me terrible. This voice would say to me, you're just making noises, you're doing things, you're not doing anything, you're not doing nothing. This would go on and on. And I'd just pray in tongues. So I was at work one day, and I'd been down in the locker room, and I was praying in tongues some, and I came upstairs in the lunchroom, had a few minutes left, come in and sit down in the lunchroom. I was sitting there at the table. There's other people right at the table. All the people were sitting there. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me up out the inside. He said, the devil keeps bugging you about you. You're praying in tongues. You ain't doing nothing. He said, if you weren't doing anything, he'd be encouraging you to do it more often. See, you need to get past your mind and the devil. That's why I said that little pea up there rolling around. You ain't as bright as you think you are. You ain't as bright. I'll tell you what. If it wouldn't be for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't know when to go out or come in. I wouldn't know what to. It's like Brother Hagin said, one time he said he got over and he said the Holy Spirit started to teach him, and he said, my words, he said to his wife, what on earth have I been teaching? He said, it's a wonder the deacons didn't have to come and take me in out of the rain. See, you get over there, and we need to understand these things. And this is why it's getting on ourselves. And go back and listen to this message over, and if you haven't written these things down and these scriptures, because you've got to get in faith with these things. This isn't some just automatic thing you're just going to throw out there and just make it all work. It's not. You've got to be in faith. You've got to come to the place that you can stand in, and you pray for people. You know God's a working, hallelujah. And you can get a little shout on your voice and do a little jig once in a while, hallelujah. When they're carrying on and they're acting heathen, going, woo, glory to God, God's drawing them, hallelujah. Is that ever good? Instead of, oh my God, there they go again. Oh Lord Jesus, please. Oh God, help them. Oh Lord, I ask you. And he's there, yeah, and now you threw everything out you did. Now your unbelief killed everything. We don't do that. Now, one thing you do have to understand this. Praying for somebody to come to Christ is not a guarantee they will accept. God will draw them. They have a choice. You can't force people into. You need to understand this. But we want to give people a choice. There are people leave this earth who never had a choice. They stayed blind. Nobody's prayed for them. Nobody's asked God. They've never been drawn. See, we want people drawn. This is one thing is why, you pray, if you're going to pray for a community out here and that stuff, do a lot of praying in other tongues for them. Don't pray in your mind. Pray in other tongues for them. But see, I know with me, praying for people over time, there's sometimes, I prayed for people and it didn't seem like anything was happening. And over a long period of time, and I talked to the Lord about it. I asked the Lord about it one day. The Lord said, yeah. He said, I've drawn them, but he said, they won't respond. He said, they know, but they're not going to respond. That's why you need to listen in your spirit on the inside. Even for Christians. I prayed many times for Christians. And God moved on them. God, the Lord told me, I moved them. They won't listen. They won't do. I've told them. I've had people in church ready. I prayed about certain things. The Lord said to me, he said, you can't do anything for them. He said, they know what to do and they won't do it. Well, what do you do? See, you have to know that.
This is one thing you got to be led by the Spirit, because you can waste a lot of time praying and trying to believe if you don't want to be led by the Spirit. Because sometimes people are drawn and they won't respond. You can't force people. You can't make people accept Jesus. You know, we had a guy, Reese Candy Company, and he said, I know I need to accept Jesus, but I don't want to. I like my lifestyle the way it is. Well, see, he knew, but he wanted to live the way it was. He knew the choice. He didn't want the choice. There's many people don't want to count the cost. That's why we offer this sloppy grace today. It's about there's no cost to this thing. There's a cost. There's a cost to this thing. It's your life. People say salvation's free, but it's going to cost you your life. I can get it free, but to live this thing, if you want to live it with any success, it's going to cost you your life. And people like to have that. It's going to cost you my life. Yeah, but Lord, I'll give you 10% of my life. Most Christians don't even tithe their life. Last time I checked, Jesus keeps telling me he wants all of mine. He don't want 10%. He wants the whole thing. Most Christians, God gets about 1%. He wants my life. He wants it. Because, see, I keep telling him the things that I want. And he keeps telling me the things he wants. If you don't ever hear what he wants, he's probably not paying a bit of attention to what you said you wanted. Boy, that was cute, wasn't it? I'll tell you. But I'm just telling you, it's true. It's true. I found it out. Just like I can ignore him, he knows how to ignore it. You might as well laugh, folks. You can sit around and, oh, boy, I'm getting my toes stepped on or say, my God, he caught me. Hallelujah. Just, you know, the bad part, it isn't about getting, look, God does this stuff to me all the time. And I don't whine about it. Why? Because I want what he got. You know, I went down the meetings down here, and I'll tell you what, there's one thing as I learned. There's something that happened in those meetings. If I would not have been in those meetings, it had never happened. I had to go to it to get it. You need to pay attention to where you need to be. You're not going to, I'm just telling you, most of you ain't going to get what you're looking for just generally coming to church here once in a while and doing stuff. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have to know. You're going to have to be at the right place at the right time for certain things to happen. God's going to send you. Over the years, God has sent me places specifically for anointings, for different things. He sent me places specifically for it to happen. It ain't going to happen watching television and watching preachers on TV and radio. There's things that you must be there. If I had not been at the meetings down there, if Wednesday night I was not at the meeting down there, what took place would have never taken place. And I'm glad I obeyed and went. I'm glad I obeyed and went. Hallelujah. Because I would have missed out. It was for me. It wasn't for anybody else. It was for me. But God had that planned. And so you got to go. You need to pay attention and listen. I'm just telling you, there's a lot you're not going to get because you can go online and you can do this and we can watch things live and that. There's things that you have to be in presence to get. And you better listen to God. See, we know very little about the anointing and how it works. People want the anointing. Over time I learned because I listened to the ones who had the anointing. And I listened to them of how they got their anointing. You know, most people got their anointing. Lots of times somebody laid hands on them. They didn't get it watching television. They didn't get it some other way. They were somewhere and somebody. The teaching anointing came me. God sent me. I had to spend the money to go out to Tulsa, Oklahoma and attend camp meeting. And I had to go out there for the week. And God didn't, it wasn't until the last night, afternoon it was actually. It was an afternoon meeting. But the Lord told me there's an anointing and you got to go out there to get it. And I had to go out there in the presence of Kenneth Hagin to get it. It wasn't going to show up over television or on the video. It wasn't going to happen.
I had to go there to get it. And I've had time and times again, Lord, tell me, you go here, you go do this, you go there. And that's where you get it. Most people, the anointing isn't something that just happens, falls on them. They get it from somebody who's anointed. They get it from them. That's why follow an anointing close. See, treating the anointing casually. This is one. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to take time. I'm going to talk about it. That's why it's coming here to services concerning the anointing. You can't treat the anointing that's on me that you can just come and go anytime you want to and anything like that. That's disrespect to the anointing. God ain't going to pass nothing on to you. You know, years ago, like I said, we'd stand outside for 2 hours to get inside. It wasn't because we wanted to see a miracle. And why? Everybody wanted to get up close. You know why they wanted to get close? We knew as baby Christians, you get closer to the guy with the anointing stronger. The anointing is stronger. If I can lay hands on people and pass the anointing on, then that means the anointing ain't back there and out downstairs and down the hallway. And see, when people disrespect and think they can walk in and out anytime they want to and do things, when the anointing's gone, they don't realize. They disrespect the anointing of God. It doesn't matter when I show up. It doesn't matter. I can just go. That's a disrespect. This is why we had so much going on. When I was down there, God's been talking to me about this for weeks now, about why it worked back then and it won't work today. It's because of the casualness. We go not really. If we thought we were going to get something, we had done showed up. And if we wanted something, we didn't know. Mike didn't. We didn't know if we were specifically going to get anything, but we act like we were going to get it all. We stood in lines waiting to get at meetings. We did things. We didn't care what wanted. We didn't care how cold it was outside. We didn't care how we felt. We were going to get at that meeting because God was at that meeting. And if I went there, I believe I was going to get something. You know, I go down to Randall Greer's meetings. And you know what? When that door opens, I'm at that door. I don't tell you people to do something I don't do. Why? Because I expect God to move because Ed's there. I don't wait for Randall Greer. I hook up with God before I get there. We have this casualness. And it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, folks. Say, yeah, well, I don't feel anything. This ain't got a thing to do about feelings. I didn't feel a thing when I got down there. The night the Lord spoke to me down there, I didn't feel a thing when concerning the meeting. There was any special things anointing. I knew I was in a meeting, it was anointed. I knew he had an anointing on him. I knew that. It wasn't special. But I was there because God told me to be there. I needed to be in that meeting. And those meetings, every one of them, you know, we got the same thing with misters. They're casual, you know. They're casual about they just show up, you know, and come in, you know, the meetings. There's a couple of us. We're there waiting. Why? Because I expect something. Hallelujah. I'm early. I have faith. I ain't letting somebody else get my seat. I want down there close on the front where the anointing's going. It gets on Ed quick. I'm not casual about it, you know. We just walk in the middle of it. It don't matter, you know. Thinking you're going to get something. Dear Lord. You know, any good employer would fire 90% of Christians if Christians went to work like they go to church. Show up any old time they want to and stuff. Irregular. Any decent employer would fire them. And I'll tell you, God's done fired a lot of Christians. I want you to understand this. Some of this stuff ain't going to go on much longer. God is closing the door on some things. This is a year. This is a year. By the end of this year, I'm just telling you this, by the Holy Spirit, by the end of this year, if certain things aren't changed, they will not be changed. Casualness is ending with God. There's a remnant to rise up. We want God to move and then we'll move. I'll tell you this by God, you better get moving. If you don't, God will not move. You're not waiting on Him. He's waiting for you.
He's waiting for the faith people to act in faith like they really believe that that God's going to do something. They begin to act like, hallelujah, God's going to do something. God's going to move for me. God's going to do something for me. This is important. This is not said from the standpoint of criticism, folks. I'm just telling you from God. God is not putting up with certain things anymore. He's not going to. He can't. Time is closing out. He can't keep wasting his time on what won't move and what won't happen. Why? Because there's people need to be reached. There's things that need to be changed. And he's in the business for that. And we need to come to the place, folks. This stuff sounds hard, but I feel so bad because we walk through this community and all we hear is fluff. We hear all, you know, everything, and it ain't going to be all right. I mean, we don't need God anymore. You know, they're going to bring these entertainers in here to reach people in here. They're going to bring these people from New York and that stuff, from the theater people and hip-hop and you know, people sing different things, and they're going to reach the community. So they're going to have a prayer meeting, and I was invited to the prayer meeting. You know what they're going to do? They're going to reach out. We're going to get together and meet for about an hour to pray. I thought, you want to meet your community, and you're just going to spend an hour praying? Stay home. This is a good, let me just say this. Randall Greer said something the Lord told him. He went to a church one time to minister, and he was asked to share something on a Saturday morning with a group of people in the church who were, they would do outreach, go out and do street ministry. And he said the pastor asked if he could say something because these people, they were going out doing something but not having much of anything success. And you can find this. This only works for this. This is generally works in Christianity. Randy said, I said to the Lord, Lord, what am I going to tell them? You know, I don't, you know, I know there's things we could say, but, you know, what am I going to tell them? And he said, the Lord said, just tell them this. If you want to reach people, he said, 90% prayer, 10% going. 90% prayer, 10% going. The church has 1% prayer, 99% going. Why? Because, see, the church usually always goes to people that are not being drawn. It is. It's the way it is. You pray till God shows you who's being drawn, till God shows you what to do. See, we can just reach him ourselves. You know, we got all these nice little things you go to, and they tell you, oh, take the Roman road to them, and then go this. Yeah. Spend all these times in seminars. We should have spent a lot more time praying. Hallelujah. This is good stuff, folks. But let's get ourselves together. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion this morning. And we're running late. Hallelujah. You can get down and ask them to come up if you'd like to, because the children are going to come up. We're going to have communion this morning. And the whole thing about this, I want you to understand this morning. We take communion, and really for this purpose. You and I don't make this thing work. He makes it work. We must come to the place to understand it's not by our abilities. It's not our great wisdom. You would not even know how to apply the Word of God if the Holy Ghost don't even show you. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and put it to work. Right now in America, we have a lot of knowledge, but there's very little wisdom. In the church, there's very little wisdom. Yet wisdom cries out in the streets. Wisdom only comes from one place. Man doesn't give it. Wisdom comes from God, one place. Man can gain knowledge of all kinds of things, but if he doesn't get wisdom, he doesn't know how to apply that knowledge to be a great benefit to him like he wants it to be. And that's why we need Jesus. We need to walk in line with Jesus. We can't do it without him. It is an impossibility. My prayer life would never be a success without Jesus. I couldn't get, it's him. He's the one. He's the one that makes this thing work for us. The authority that I have came from him. It's not mine. The ability, it's not mine. It's never been mine. It's not mine. It's his ability. Grace is God's ability that works in my house. It isn't Ed's ability that works. It's God's ability. And if Ed don't have God's ability, all Ed has is Ed's ability. I know where that came from and what it'll do.
It's not going to work. God's ability is what we need. We need God's power. And communion reminds us and brings us back to the place. Who died for me? Who shed his blood for me? He did those things for me. Then what does his word mean to me? It should stand with high honor. What he said should be above all. No matter what anybody else says. He's first. He's always first before all. You know, Wanda and I were celebrating our anniversary. It's 44 years we've been married. And I'm going to tell you what, it's definitely been grace. Because if it was by works, it would have never worked. God's grace gave us a marriage that lasted. It would have never lasted. It could never last. Heck, my life wouldn't have lasted that long. I'd have never made it 44 years. They'd have done buried me. But it's because of him. It's all because of what he did. And it brings us back to the focus. See, I'm totally believing, I think this is the foundation of what the church has lost. We've lost Jesus. We've lost first love. We forget where all the blessings come from and why we have what we have and we do what we do. We say, yes, Lord, we thank you for it. But it's not the consciousness. If without him, I can do nothing. That is, you know, that sounds like a nice, humble statement. But I want to tell you what, it's true. You're only alive today because of God. Amen. Any human being in this earth, if God threw the switch, all life would end. Without him, we can do nothing. Any wisdom of understanding that we get, any of the blessings in this earth that we have, if it wouldn't be for him, we'd have none of it. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. I was blessed as a sinner because of him, this Lord Jesus. I was blessed as a sinner because of him. He put up with me. And that's what he did. He put up with me. And he put up with me before I was ever born on the face of the earth. He died for my sin. Before I was ever born on the face of the earth. He had salvation planned for it. Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you today for being the great God of mercy. The great God of mercy. Lord God, so merciful, so good, so kind. Lord God, not giving us what we deserve, but giving us the glory that Jesus Christ won for us. Giving us what he suffered for, what he went through for the blessing, and it was handed to us without the labor of hand. And Lord God, just to you personally, Lord God, forgive me when I followed my weakness instead of your strength. Forgive me when I followed my wisdom instead of yours. Forgive me, Lord God, that I didn't honor your great Son, Jesus Christ, and hold him to the place that I should have. Forgive me, Lord God. Lord, we honor Jesus today. If it wouldn't be for your wonderful Son, Lord, we would be lost for eternity. We would have no hope of a glorious future. But we have that great hope. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you today. I thank you, Lord God, you have a plan in this day and this time to reveal your glory. And Lord God, we're not approaching you and asking you for that glory on the basis of our performance because we couldn't ask for that. Because, Lord, our works could never take a hold. Our works would never meet the standard. Our works wouldn't do it. But, Lord God, you offered it. But, Lord God, our faith in Jesus Christ will work. We can step forward today by faith in what he has done and what he's accomplished. And we can take a hold of it and say, Lord God, we're going to walk in this glory. You're going to complete
complete in us this great work that you started. You're going to fulfill us, Lord God, and use us for your glory and demonstrate your majesty through us in spite of what we've done and done, Lord God. And you have a plan. And Lord God, all we want to be used in your plan. Lord God, we want to be used by you. Lord God, we've been used by a lot. But Lord God, we lay it all aside. And Father God, we desire your glory more than anything. We desire your hand upon us. Lord God, Lord, without the anointing, we're nothing. Lord God, we can't accomplish and do things. Lord God, we need your anointing. And Lord God, to put your hand on the church today. Put your hand on the people today. Anoint them in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, that your strength and your ability begins to work and to move in us, Lord God. Lord God, that we lay aside trying and we pick up doing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That we walk boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, speaking, Lord God, by the sword of the Spirit, which is in our mouth, Lord God, the great words that you've given us, Father God, filling our mind, filling our hearts, Lord God, with the word of God and saying those words, Father God, walking forth, Lord God, as good soldiers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, resisting all that Satan brings against us, every fiery dart of the devil being quenched by the shield of faith. We thank you, Father God, that we have victory. As we approach these communion elements, Lord God, Lord, we approach them because of the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, as we step into these, and Lord God, we recognize Jesus today. Father God, it fills us with life, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Life and health in Jesus' name, that we're being made whole and sound. We believe on this one. Lord God, we're not doing this as some religious thing of carrying out. We're doing this by faith. We're partakers with Jesus Christ. We're one blood with Jesus Christ. He's King of kings, Lord of lords, and we bow ourselves. You may have made us a king, but we bow ourselves to you today, and we declare ourselves your servant. Hallelujah. We are your servants today. Hallelujah. To do your will, to carry out your blessing, and you're the great master that will take care of us, provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You will take care of us and look after us. You will bless our families, and we will be blessed coming in and going out. Hallelujah. Lord God, we will do your will and what you have designed for us. We will follow it because you will anoint us to do it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated, and we'll have the servers come. Hallelujah. For I have great plans, says the Lord. For I have thought and looked into the future, and I have seen the things that I have planned out and laid out. Yes, yes, and Satan has come, and he's tried to thwart those things, and he's moved, and he's done all these things, and he's spoken in a loud voice. And in your nation, he has said many things and done many things, but the Lord says today, I have a plan, and nothing will stand in the way of it. For I will walk forth, says the Lord, and my glory will be revealed, and I will shake everything that can be shaken. I will shake it loose, and my glory will come forth. And I have a people in this day and hour, and they will stand up, and they will walk in my glory, and I will show forth in this day and hour, and my glory will rip across this land, and glory will be shown forth in spite of all that's going on. And men will tremble in fear at my presence because my people shall walk in my glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.